Welcome to Torah Tzimcha Nachyomi with your Women's Initiative. My name is Hindi Mendelowitz. This is Shmuel Bet, Perek Chaf Aleph, Chapter 21. We begin with Pasuk Aleph, Vahi Ra'av B'Yimei David. In the days of David, there was a Ra'av, a drought, Shalosh Shanim, that lasted 3 years, with devastating consequences. Shana Achrei Shana, year after year for 3 years. Vayivakesh David es Pnei Hashem. After 3 years of this drought, David sought counsel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu via the Urim V'Tumim to know what was the reason for the drought. Clearly, as is pointed out by Chazal in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer and in Masechet Yevamot, as this drought plagued Klal Yisrael, David did not sit by. He understood more than anybody that the cause of the plague must have been not scientific, but rather spiritual, that there was some lack or some sin that was causing the withholding of the rain. And in each year, there was an introspection. There was a searching, a tshuva process of what have we done wrong, what can we fix? In the first year, David asked Klal Yisrael, is there a problem of Avod Zara? Badku v'lo matzu. In the second year, Giloy Arayot, badku v'lo matzu. In the third year, Shfichat Damim, they checked, badku v'lo matzu. And Klal Yisrael was found to be clean in each year of all of their sins. After this necessary process of introspection, of tshuva, of self-examination, only then did David turn to the Urim V'Tumim to ask the question of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is lacking within us for which you withhold the rain? The answer, Vayomer Hashem, said Hashem via the Urim V'Tumim, El Shaul, for the fact that Shaul was buried quickly, furtively, V'lo Nispad Lefi Chodo, did not receive the burial, nor the eulogies worthy of his honor. V'El Beis Hadamim, and for the fact that Shaul had killed out the city of Nov, the Kohanim within it. Al asher heimis es hagivonim. And another episode from the life of Shaul HaMelech, the harm that was done to the Givonim, which we'll describe shortly. What we can notice here is that there are three separate matters which need to be accounted for, rectified over here. One is a slight to Shaul himself, and the others are the failures of Shaul himself. Whereupon Rashi shares with us the pasuk from Tzfanya, Perek Bet, Pasuk Gimel, Asher Mishpato Fa'alu, the deep, beautiful power of the Mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the very same time he prosecutes a person, he also seeks out the zchut that that person has. On the one hand, the reckoning of the wrongs of Shaul, in the very same action, to fix the slight to the honor of Shaul. Understanding now that this is what is at the root of the drought, David now calls to the Givonim, Pasuk Bet. Vayikra ha-melech la-Givonim, vayomer alehem. David calls to them. V'ha-Givonim lo mi-bnei Yisrael hema. The Givonim are not of Klal Yisrael. Ki'im mi-yeso he-emori. They are actually a smaller sect from the nation of the Emori. U'vnei Yisrael nishbe'u lahem. And Klal Yisrael had sworn to protect them. Some background is necessary. The background is found in Sefer Yoshua, Perek Tet, which, as we'll recall, when Yoshua led Klal Yisrael into Eretz Canaan, there was a command upon him to wipe out the seven nations who dwelt there. This group of people called the Givonim were one of the seven nations, the Emori. They appeared before Yoshua disguised, as if they had traveled from a faraway place, with old, dusty clothing, rancid bread, and presented themselves as people from far away, passing themselves off as being from somewhere else, not of the nations of Canaan. They then attempted to draw up a peace treaty with Yoshua and the Jews, which was promptly done. It was only days later that Yoshua and the Jewish people realized they had been duped. They had been tricked into making this peace treaty with the Givonim, when indeed they were one of the seven nations of Canaan. Yoshua understood the Chilul Hashem that would result if he reneged on the deal. And so the way he resolved this was that they were allowed to stay in Eretz Yisrael. They were protected by the peace treaty they had tricked Klal Yisrael into signing. But they were relegated to be the water drawers and the wood choppers in service of the Kohanim in the Mishkan. As such, they lived in the city of Nov from that time of Yoshua through into the times of Shaul. In the days of Shaul, Vayivakesh Shaul lehakosam, bekanosol of Yisrael v'Yehuda. Shaul understood these were not loyal Jews, and there are varying accounts here of what is the way in which he harmed him. One understanding is that when he went to kill out the Kohanim in Nov, these Givonim were living in the city, and there were actually 7 of the Givonim who were killed in the massacre of the Kohanim in the city of Nov when Shaul was pursuing David. Alternatively, it is offered that the Givonim were not killed, but when the Kohanim in Nov were killed, these Givonim who were in their service lost their source of sustenance, lost their financial stability, had to flee, were now refugees, and their status had never been restored ever since. David at this point understands these 3 items are the source of the Ra'av, and he will seek to rectify that which has gone wrong. There is much discussion amongst the Mefarshim of why now? If all of these 3 issues date back to the days of Shaul, why now? And there are various ideas that are offered in the Torah Shebaal Peh, which we won't delve into deeply in our overview of the Perek. The bottom line is, whatever is the reason, whether there was also a shortcoming in the generation of David, whether there was some personal blame he held, whether there was a protection that Klal Yisrael had had until now that was now suspended. As the Abarbanel and then the Malbim point out, all this is the deep omek, is the depth of Mishpat Hashem, depths to which we cannot necessarily comprehend or enter, but in some grand way, these are the workings of the Mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is perfect, which brought this to be the time that these lingering problems would have to be rectified. Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer David, says David el Givonim, Ma eseh lachem, uvama achapel, uvarchu es nachlas Hashem. How can I fix that which happened in the days of Shaul? And as such, I will appease you, and then uvarchu, you will pray, says Rashi. You will daven that the drought will be removed, and thus save Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Dalid, Vayomru lo ha-giv'onim, said the giv'onim, Ein lanu kesef v'zahav im Shaul. There is no money you can pay us, no reparations you can make. V'im beso. V'ein lanu ish lehamis b'Yisrael. Vayomer, mo atem omrim e'eseh lachem. They said, there is nothing you can do for us. He continued, what would you like? Whereupon, Pasuk Hei, Vayomru el ha-melech, said they, Ha'ish asher kilanu, v'asher dima lanu, Nishmadnu mehisyat seif b'chol gvul Yisrael. There is one man who tried to wipe us out and then planned for ourselves to be completely eradicated from the boundaries of Israel. That man, of course, was Shaul. Yutan lanu shev'a anashim mibanav v'hoka'anum la'ashem b'giv'as Shaul b'chir Hashem. Said they with tremendous cruelty, the only way we will consider ourselves reconciled is if you will deliver 7 of the children of Shaul, parallel to the 7 Givonim who suffered, and they will be hanged to sanctify the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said they, to rectify the injustice that was carried out by Shaul. It is at this point that David understood that where these people had been dwelling with their status ambiguous ever since the days of Yoshua, now it was clear. They lacked the basic characteristics that define the Jewish nation of being rachmanim, baishanim, vigomlei chasadim, being compassionate people with humility. This was a cruel request on the part of the Givonim. And it was at this point that David understood that these could never be people who would be fully included within Klal Yisrael. And it was at this place that he decreed that no Givonim would ever be allowed to come into Kahal Hashem to become one of the Jewish people. At the same time, while the Givonim are disqualified, justice must be served. Vayomer HaMelech Ani Etin. As the Malbim points out, the request of the Givonim to kill more than one person, for children to suffer on sins that were done by their fathers, for them to be hanging, as we'll see, more than the allowed amount of time, all of this was completely against the halachot of din that can be adjudicated in a Beit Din. As we've explained numerous times before, the king has extrajudicial privileges. The king is allowed to impose justice outside the parameters or the strictures of a Beit Din. It was within David's power to accede to the request of the Givonim, even though at the same time he understood how cruel it was. And again, there's an understanding here that perhaps eludes us of this came mishamayim. This is what was demanded from Din Shamayim. And it was David's role at this point to fulfill that which had been determined. Pasuk Zayin. ויחמול המלך על מפיבושת בן יהונסן בן שאול, על שבועת השם אשר בינוסם, בן דוד ובן יהונסן בן שאול. David had compassion. And as Rashi points out, that compassion was expressed by his asking Rachamim, because which of the living descendants of Shaul would be chosen to suffer this terrible fate, that would be determined by the Aron, as they were passed before it. The king, understanding firstly that Mephibosheth had been only 5 years old when this incident took place, he could not have been involved in the injustice done to the Giv'onim. In addition, remembering the Shvu'ah, the oath that he made to Yehonasan to protect his family until the end of time, he davened, he prayed, that the Aron would not select Mephibosheth to be killed, and indeed, that is what occurred. Instead, Posuk Chet, Vayekach HaMelech, Es Shnei Bnei Ritzpa Bas Aya, Asher Yalda LeShaul, Es Armoni Ves Mephibosheth, 2 children born to Ritzpa Bas Aya, Ves Chameshes Bnei Michal Bas Shaul, Asher Yalda LeAdriel Ben Barzilai HaMecholasi. To clarify, as the Mephoshim here do, Michal was not the actual biological mother of these 5 children, but rather she had raised the 5 children of Merav, who had died, and therefore they are called hers. Together, these are the 7 descendants of Shaul, who were selected by the Aron in an act of justice that belongs only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his court, manifested by David through the choosing of the Aron. Pasuk Tet, Vayitnein biyad Giv'onim, Vayokiom bahar lifnei Hashem. And these 7 were given over to the Giv'onim and were hanged before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayeplu shva'atam yachad, they fell, the 7 of them together. Ve'em ha'omsu b'yemei katsil, they were killed in the month of Nisan, barishonim, b'tchilas katsil se'orim, at the beginning of the harvesting of the grains. Vatikach ritzba bas aya es hasak, v'tateho la el hatsur, mitchilas katsil, ad nitach mayim alehem. These bodies were left hanging for a number of months, from Nisan until Tchilas Katsir ad nitach mayim alehem, until the rain began to drip down in the month of Tishrei. The rain dripping down signified the first tender end of the drought, whereupon it was understood that the tikkun had been done, that whatever was lacking had been rectified. Ritzpa bas aya showed tremendous dedication in protecting these bodies all the time they were hanging. El Hatzur, says Radak, they were hanging there, but at the same time, Bidrash, She Amra, she was matzdik, she accepted upon herself the din, with the pasuk of Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo, Kichad Rachav Mishpat. The Mishpat, the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is perfect. And with this, though this incident was so painful and difficult to understand, she accepted upon herself the din Shamayim. Velo nasna of hashamayim lanuach alehem yomam veschayas hasad laila. She protected these bodies. And while it is clear that leaving these bodies hanging went against the halacha, whereby out of honor to a body it is not left hanging longer than overnight, on the other hand, Klal Yisrael understood that they overlooked that halacha in this case to perpetuate the Kiddush Hashem that went forth when people walked and saw the sons of a king hanging from a tree and said, what happened here? And understood that these privileged people were guilty of injustice to gerim gurim, to the lowest level of people who were living within Klal Yisrael, not even full-fledged Jews. And they saw that Din Shamayim held these princes to account. And there was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem that came forth that overruled or superseded the din of not leaving these bodies hanging. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayugad le David, es asher asasa ritzpa bas aya pileges Shaul. David heard of the care and dedication Ritzpa bas aya had shown to these bodies, and it inspired him to go forward to honor the family of Shaul. Pasuk Yud Bet, Vayelech David, Vayikach es atzmos Shaul, ves atzmos Yonasan bino, me'ez ba'alei avesh Gilad, asher ganvu osam me'ochov beis shan, asher tla'um shama. The bodies of Shaul and his son Yehonasan had been buried by the people of Yavesh Gilad, who had stolen them from the battlefield on the day they fell to the Plishtim. And David removed the bodies of Shaul, of Yohanan and of their seven descendants, their seven children who had been hanged. ויקברו את עצמות שאול ויהונתן בנו בארץ בנימין בצלע בקבר קיש אביו. With the proper honor due to Shaul, who was of course Mashiach Hashem, the anointed king of Hashem, and his children, they were buried in the burial place of Kish, the father of Shaul. ויעשו כל אשר ציווה המלך ויעשר אלוקים לארץ אחריכם. With correct honor, these tzaddikim were laid to rest, and at that point, it seems, Mishpat had been fulfilled, and at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to the tefillot, understood the actions that were taken, and the rain came down. Psukim Tet Zayin, until the end of the Perek, which is the last and final Pasuk, Chaf Bet, will list four battles that took place in the days of David, not only at this point, but going back to his first battle, when he appeared on the scene of Klal Yisrael to battle the giant Goliath. Here we begin Pasuk Tet Zayin with the battle of Yishbi Binov, and each of these four battles highlights the warrior David as he, or those who aided him, did battle against one of the four sons of Orpah. As we'll recall, the great-grandmother of David was Ruth, the Moabite princess who had clung to Naomi and had every reason and ability to go back to her previous life, but instead decided to stick with Naomi and ultimately had the nachat of having a throne instated next to her great-great-grandson, Shlomo, to see her children leading the Malchut of Klal Yisrael. Her sister, Orpah, had given Naomi a kiss and then gone back home to Moab and to her previous ways. We see here at the end of this perek four battles that will take place. The first with this Yishbi Binov, and then going on each of them to four enormous giants who are the children of Orpah, where Ruth merited to see her children, establishing the Malchut of Klal Yisrael that would ultimately give birth to the Mashiach. Here we close a circle with David and those in his battle, in his army, doing battle with the four giant sons of Orpah. And as we see at the end of this perek, Vayiplu v'yad David uv'yad avadav. Each of these fearsome giants, the descendants of Orpah, eventually fell in the hands of David and those of his trusted servants. Sefer Shmuel Bet is sponsored by Hilton and Leah Lightman, Le'ilei Nishmot to their parents, Shmuel ben David, Chana bat Yaakov Chaim, Kolonimus ben Chaim, and Saratema bat Menachem Mendel.